Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, a healing scripture CD, books, and more. Today, line upon line, precept upon precept, we are going to tie together Jubilees, Shofar, Teruah, Zephaniah, Jericho, and Revelation. First, it's important to understand that we are not, in fact, commanded anywhere in Scripture to specifically blow the shofar on the Feast of Trumpets or Yom Teruah, which some call the day or Yom of blowing or Teruah. But Teruah is not necessarily blowing a trumpet or shofar. Those words don't even appear in Scripture with relation to Yom Teruah. Teruah can be blowing the shofar, but actually just means a loud noise, as in a joyful noise or a sounding alarm. It can be blowing a trumpet or simply yelling, shouting, or making any type of loud commotion. More correctly, this day would be called the day of a joyful noise or a sounding alarm. And as we've pointed in the past, it will be a day of joyful noise for those who are covered with the blood of Yeshua, or a day of sounding alarm, warning those of pending judgment who are not covered with the blood of Yeshua. With that said, there is one feast where we are commanded to blow the trumpet, or more specifically, the shofar, and that is on Yom Kippur, marking the beginning of the 50th year, or the year of Jubilee. In Leviticus 25:9, we read, "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound in the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." And here we know that the 10th day of the 7th month is Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, Yom Day. Atonement is Kippur, or covering. But here, the word for trumpet is actually the word shofar. It does appear in the scripture. "And thou shalt cause the shofar," and it says, "of Jubilee," but the word translated as Jubilee there is actually Teruah. So it would read, "Then shalt thou cause the shofar of Teruah to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." Now, this isn't any just Yom Kippur, though, as we'll go on to read. I'll start in verse 8. "And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years." So there's 49 years. "Then you shall cause the shofar of Teruah to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family." And here in verse 10, the word jubilee is actually from the Hebrew word yovel. Continuing verse 11, "That 50th year shall be a jubilee or yovel to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the jubilee or yovel. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession, and if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another." And so the whole point of the Jubilee is that you return to your inheritance, to your family's inheritance, to your tribal inheritance. Everything is returned to its rightful owner, to whom it was given to by Yahweh. And also we see in other scripture that all of the slaves are set free, all of the servants are set free, the bond servants, in the year of Jubilee. And especially the Shemitah years, which is the 7th year, the year before the Jubilee, and every 7th year leading up to the Jubilee. So it makes total sense that the year of Jubilee would be somewhere at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, when the land is returned to its rightful owner and the entire earth is returned to Yeshua, the kingship of Yeshua, and we are all set free from Babylon. So the fact that Yom Kippur in the 50th year, or beginning the 50th year, is the only place where we are commanded to Teruah with a shofar. That is the only time we are commanded to do that, is in the Yom Kippur beginning the 50th year. That is one reason why we believe the 7 trumps or shofar blasts of Revelation are the 7 last Yom Kippurs prior to Yeshua's millennial kingdom. Since no one knows for sure when the next Jubilee year is, we believe it is very possible that the 7-year tribulation, or judgment, on the nations and Babylon, the Babylonian system, either begins with the blast of the Jubilee trump or ends with the Jubilee trump. On our Revelation time chart, we have the possibility that the year after the seventh trump, from Yom Kippur 2028 to Yom Kippur 2029, is the Jubilee year, which kicks off the millennial kingdom. But more and more, we are looking at the possibility that Yom Kippur 2022 through Yom Kippur 2023 could be the Jubilee year. As reflected also on our Revelation chart, Yom Kippur 2022 would sound the first trump of Revelation. That is, this Yom Kippur could be the first trump of the tribulation, which ends the first year of the tribulation, marking the beginning of the seven trump judgments, because the first year after the seventh seal, there is silence in heaven, so not a whole lot happens that first year after the seventh seal, other than a lot of warning and the fact that we can see the seven trumps coming. And I believe that really reflects what this year has been all about. We can see famines and pestilence coming, but we've had a little bit of a reprieve. So the first trump of Revelation could actually be the Yom Kippur shofar blast that also marks the Jubilee year. And as we see throughout Revelation, and we've explained in past programs, there is a lot of Yom Kippur imagery in the book of Revelation. So I believe that the book of Revelation is all about a Yom Kippur ceremony, all about judgment. It's all about being atoned for or not atoned for. Judgment on those who are not atoned for by the blood of Yeshua, and forgiveness and cleansing of those who are atoned for through the blood of Yeshua, and giving the world and its people one last chance to accept the blood of Yeshua. And the seven trumps would actually be seven shofar blasts of seven Yom Kippurs, marking 7 years. So if the first trumpet blast of Revelation marks the beginning of the Jubilee year, then the seven-year tribulation is Yahweh's judgment, because Babylon is not making a release of Israel, the land, nor the Israelite people, which includes all of us who are grafted into or back into Israel through rebirth again by the blood of Yeshua. And also Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement or Judgment, is also the judgment on those who refuse to repent and are not covered by the blood of the Lamb. Keeping these possibilities in mind, let's look at Zephaniah chapter 1, paying very close attention when we get to verse 12, for some more clues that we believe support these conclusions. As we read this, let's also keep in mind what Zephaniah means. Zephaniah's name means Yahweh has hidden, and so I think this is very appropriate when speaking about the judgment of the last days, because his people will be hidden from his judgment and protected from the tribulation. Zephaniah chapter 1, the word of Yahweh, which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushni, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume everything, and this is speaking of the great day of Yahweh, from the face of the land, says Yahweh. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks, along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land or the earth, says Yahweh. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place, the names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by Yahweh, but who also swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following Yahweh and have not sought Yahweh nor inquired of him. Be silent in the presence of Yahweh Elohim, for the day of Yahweh is at hand, for Yahweh has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests. So here we can see pictures of the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is pictured in Revelation as a sacrifice with invited guests. And we can see that the judgment will begin against Jerusalem. And it goes on to say in verse 8, "And it shall be in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such who are clothed with foreign apparel." Does that strike something in your memory from the New Testament? The parable that Yeshua told about the man who was in the marriage celebration with the wrong clothing, and so he was cast out. And here it says, the judgment is going to be against all who are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day, I will punish all those who leap over the threshold. And again, those would be those trying to get into his kingdom, not through the door of Yeshua, but through another way. Yeshua says, I am the door. All who come in by another way are thieves and robbers. And so here it says, In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, meaning who come in another way, who don't go through the door of Yeshua, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says Yahweh, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off. So there's going to be a judgment against the merchants of the earth and against the earthly money system, our fiat money system. We can see that that is going to fall. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps or candles, is what the King James Version says, and will punish the men who are settled in complacency. So when is it traditional to search the house, which Jerusalem is Yahweh's house? When is it traditional to search the house with candles for leaven? That would be on Passover, of course, the eve of Passover. And so he is searching for leaven in Jerusalem with candles. So this tells me that at some Passover, spiritually, he has or will search for the leaven in his house. And I believe it's very possible that it was this past Passover where this search was done. And he will punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, Yahweh will not do good, nor will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of Yahweh is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. This is verse 16. Here the word for trumpet is shofar, and the word for alarm is teruah. So I believe in Zephaniah 1 we have a search for leaven in Jerusalem with candles in verse 12, marking a Passover. And then in verse 16, we have the day of Yahweh beginning on the teruah of the shofar or trumpet. So if it indeed is this year that begins the tribulation, and this Yom Kippur is the teruah of the shofar, marking the Yom Kippur of the Jubilee, or the first trumpet of the seven-year tribulation, then the silence in heaven for a half an hour or a short period of time that occurred after the seventh seal was opened during the first year of tribulation, just before the first trump, would be this time period in Zephaniah, the time period between the search of Jerusalem with candles for the leaven of this past Passover and the shofar teruah on Yom Kippur of this year, marking possibly the Jubilee, or at the very least, the beginning of the seven trumps of Revelation. Again, verse 16, and a day of shofar and teruah against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against Yahweh. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of those who dwell in the land. Verse 17 says, I will bring distress upon men. That would be affliction or tribulation. And so I believe the judgment of the seven-year tribulation of the seven trumps begins in the spiritual headquarters of Babylon in Jerusalem, and then spreads to the physical headquarters of Babylon in the United States. And as the U.S. and Israel go, so goes the world. So we believe that his land will be cleaned out first before the fall of the physical head of Babylon, at which time in Jeremiah 50 and 51, we are told to let Jerusalem come to our mind. And in Joel, we're told there is an escape in Jerusalem. And so I believe once the land of Israel is cleaned out and the United States begins to fall, there will be a short window of time where we can somehow, and I don't know what it looks like, but we will be regathered back to the land for a short period of time before the land is invaded by the anti-Messiah, at which time we will then flee to the wilderness for 1260 days. But all of that is explained in other programs. I just wanted to touch on that here. And then starting in chapter 2, we have a warning, a call to repentance. So this is the time between Passover, when the leaven was found and pointed out and uncovered by the lamps, by the candle, and the Yom Kippur judgment. There's a time or a call to repentance. It says, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, before Yahweh's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of Yahweh's anger comes upon you. Seek Yahweh, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of Yahweh's anger. And again, the book of Zephaniah, Zephaniah's name means Yahweh has hidden. Now, with all of this in mind, the final thing that we're going to look at today is the fall of Jericho, when Joshua led the people across the river into the land, and the first victory they had was over Jericho, where they caused the walls to fall. And we're going to show you the parallels between the seven trumps of Revelation and the circling of Jericho before the walls fell. I believe this is a picture of the fall of Babylon and the fall of the entire Babylonian Antichrist, Anti-Messiah, Hasatan, fallen angel system. It all needs to fall before Yeshua can usher in his millennial kingdom. And I believe that's what the seven trumps of Revelation are all about. And the fall of Jericho is a picture of. Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 through 20. And Yahweh said to Joshua, see, I have given into thine hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets, or shofarot, of ram's horns, is what the King James says. But the Hebrew word behind that actually says the jubilees. So it should read, and the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 shofarot of the jubilees. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets, actually shofarot here. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, which this actually in the Hebrew says, when they draw forth in the horn of jubilee, and when you hear the sound of the shofar, all the people shall shout, or ruah, with a great teruah. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. So I'm going to continue reading, and instead of saying trumpets and ram's horns, I'm going to insert the actual Hebrew, which would be shofarot and jubilees. And it's interesting to note that everywhere in Scripture that jubilees, or yovel in Hebrew, shows up, it is always translated as the year of jubilee. It is only in Joshua chapter 6 that yovel is translated as ram's horn. The only other place that comes even close to that for the word yovel is Exodus 19:13, which, speaking of the trumpet sounding from the top of the mountain before the whole assembly of Israel, Exodus 19:13 says, there shall not ascend a hand to touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. And here, when it says the trumpet sounds long, it actually says to draw forth the jubilee. So it's interesting, that's the only other place where yovel is referred to as a long trumpet blast. Everywhere else, yovel is the year of jubilee. So I guess it could be the year of the long shofar blast, but it's always referring to the 50th year, except in Joshua chapter 6 and Exodus 19:13. This shofar of jubilee in Joshua, where they have just crossed over into the land to take possession of their inheritance, i.e. the jubilee is when an inheritance is returned to someone, and the wall of Jericho falls flat. So let's keep going, continuing in verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets, seven shofarot of jubilees, before the Ark of Yahweh. And he said unto the people, pass on, encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the Ark of Yahweh. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven shofarot of jubilees passed on before Yahweh, and blew with the seven shofarot, and the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh followed them. And the armed men went before the priests and blew the shofarot, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing the shofarot. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not teruah, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you to ruah, then shall you shout or ruah. So ruah is the root for teruah, and teruah is an extra loud shout, but ruah is a shout, and both of them are sounding alarm or joyful noise. So the ark of Yahweh compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of Yahweh, and the seven priests bearing the seven shofarot of jubilees before the ark of Yahweh went on continually and blew the trumpets or shofarot, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of Yahweh, the priests going on and blowing with the shofarot. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. And I think this is a picture of the 6,000 years, the 6 millennia, before the 7th year, the 7th millennia, which is the day of Yahweh, or the millennial kingdom, the day of rest, the 7th millennial. So they compassed the city one time each day, blowing the shofar for 6 days. That's a picture of the first 6,000 years. But then it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew the shofarot, Joshua said unto the people, ruah, or shout, for Yahweh has given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to Yahweh. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And something really interesting just came to me as I read this. Rahab the harlot, we know, was actually in the lineage leading up to King David and ultimately to Yeshua. And Rahab is called a harlot here, and she shall live because she hid the messengers. Is this a picture of the Christian church, which is actually a harlot church that has been doing pagan worship, but yet she hid the true messengers of Yahweh within her? Something to ponder there. Verse 18, and ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, and vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto Yahweh. They shall come into the treasury of Yahweh. So the people shouted, or ruah'd, when the priests blew the trumpets or shofarot. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the shofar, and the people ruah'd with a great teruah, that the wall fell down, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So for me, I can see all throughout here symbolism that relates to Revelation, the 6,000 years leading up to the 7,000th year, which is the millennial kingdom. And at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, or to start the millennial kingdom off, we have a jubilee, a shofar of jubilee. And here we see that the priests circle the city and the people circle the city of Jericho 7 times at the beginning of the 7th day, blowing the shofar 7 times around the city. And then the city falls. I see that as a picture of the 7-year tribulation, the 7 trumps of Revelation, which are 7 years, and in my opinion, 7 Yom Kippurs, proclaiming the year of Jubilee, which kicks off the millennial kingdom by returning the earth and the land back to its rightful owner and freeing all the slaves, all the bond servants. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.